This podcast is part of the Zio to Hero Podcast Network.
AvenuePodcast.net.
Hey guys, this is Kai from Love and Murder Podcast, www.murderandlove.com, and you're listening to If You Give a Dad a Podcast.
Hello, all my beautiful people, and welcome to episode 100 of If You Give a Dad a Podcast. I'm very excited that I've been able to make it this far. It's crazy to think just about 2 years ago that I started the show. Had no idea where it was going to go, but I'm really glad that I'm at where I am right now. And this week's episode is going to be a lot of fun. It's something that I haven't got to do in quite a while, and that's bring on a musical guest. So I'm really excited about this. I have on the vocalist for Torcon 11, Brad Harden. And we're going to talk about Weathercore, what that is, how this band got started, and many other really cool subjects in this episode. I believe that you guys are really going to enjoy it. And I just want to say welcome to all the new listeners and the longtime listeners that I have here as well. I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm not stopping at episode 100. I plan to keep going as long as I can. And for those of you who are here just to listen to the Brad Harden episode, welcome. I hope that you enjoy what you hear, and I hope that you stick around and listen to some of the other great episodes I have here as well. So, if you guys are as excited as I am, then let's get this show on the road.
If you give a dad a podcast,
you're bloody welcome!
You know.
Hey, Dad.
If I get my hand stuck in a pickle jar, I'm straight up bull in a china shop, just swinging around.
Started writing songs when I was about 12 or so.
Seriously?
They're retrofitting me now.
And I'm like, yes, finally.
I've also had the opportunity to go train with Royce Gracie and Dan Severin.
Wow.
I like that. That's different. Stands out.
That day I took my very first bump and it was fun.
There's only one section to go to first. Yeah. Toys.
Bro.
I was like, no, man, surely this guy's not booked out that long.
I haven't laughed that hard since I was a little girl.
What?
Man, this guy will shut up.
And just a reminder before we get started here, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to iGadap wherever it is you're listening to. Hit that notification bell so you are notified when a new episode drops. Also, make sure that you go out there and rate and review this episode. Tell me what you think of it. And the more people that do that, the more likely I am to be recommended to somebody else. Now, on to the show. All right, everybody. So this one is going to be pretty cool. I haven't got to do an episode like this in a minute. I enjoy having musical guests on here. You know, I have all kinds of people on this show. And this is actually a guy who I've been talking to for a minute. We had him scheduled to be on the show in January, I believe it was. And weather just didn't work out right here. We were having some electrical issues because of the ice. So I had to reschedule it. And he was, you know, patient enough with me to come back on the show whenever everything worked out better. I'm talking about the vocalist for the band Torcon 11. They are an Alabama-based band, and they're also called a Weathercore band. And I'm, like I said, talking to the lead vocalist, Brad. And man, how are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Yeah, speaking of weather, right?
I know, right?
things are great. Happy to be here and talk about all the things.
Yeah. The cool thing is I think I told you this last week. This is actually my 100th episode that we're recording right now.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I'm honored.
So, let's kind of break this down a little bit. I'd never heard of Weathercore before this. So, what actually is Weathercore?
Right. Okay. So, if I could just indirectly answer the question and kind of tell you how this whole thing got started, and then then I'll talk about Weathercore.
Okay.
All right. So Furnace Fest is a alternative like metal and hardcore festival that happens every year at this like historic Sloss Furnace in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
They have pretty massive like metal bands come through. And then a ton of like underground bands that you may or may not have heard of, but like Killswitch Engage has played, bands like that.
Okay.
So it's just a giant, like, all-out rock and roll metal festival for the whole weekend in Birmingham. There's nothing else like it that I know of in the Southeast anyways that's specifically focuses on, like, your guitar has to be distorted the whole time, right?
Right.
So a group of our high school friends kind of make this pilgrimage every year. Uh-huh. We're all old. Everyone's married. You know, like, I'm about to turn 39.
Okay.
We're all, like, in our 40s. So it's just ibuprofen and mosh pits all weekend. It's a great time. So within that Furnace Fest community, like a Facebook group, mm-hmm. people started creating these, like, AI memes.
Okay.
There was an AI meme created of, like, one of our local weathermen. His name is James Spann. He's pretty legendary. Like, if you Google him, he's, like, super certified. I think he was, like, one of the first, like, 50 people in the United States to be, like, certified as a broadcast meteorologist. So, and he's still a weatherman today. He's legendary in Alabama. I've followed him since I was a kid. Like, every time there's a tornado, he's on TV. You're safe because you know he's got your back, right?
Right, kind of right. Thing. Yeah.
But anyways, there's this meme of him, like, screaming over, like, people in a mosh pit, saying respect the polygon, which I don't know if he's trademarked that, but he's definitely one of the first meteorologists to, like, make it popular. Like, right. If you YouTube respect the torcon, respect the polygon, you're probably gonna see, like, our video and then, like, a video of him talking about a tornado, you know?
Yeah.
So I worked with a studio called Dark Cabin Studios, created the music, did some editing, and added vocals to this track, Respect the Polygon. That's our first single. Sent it to just my friend group, and everyone says, dude, holy crap, that's amazing. Like, that is incredible. It's hilarious. It's about weather. So a meme turned to a song, then turned to a reality. So that's how all that took place.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's really cool. You know, I mean, I'm a firm believer in, you know, things happen for a reason. So I think that's really neat that you guys were able to develop, you know, this band based off of that. And it's very unique. I've listened to the song quite a few times and I absolutely love it. It's an awesome sounding song. And like I said, the weather core side of it, though, you know, I guess that's a newer thing, you know, in the subgenres of metal.
Yeah, so I don't know that it exists yet or if it's been, like, trademarked or copyrighted, but if not, I'm going to go ahead and say we're going to own that. I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, we did it first.
There you go.
But yeah, so man, I'm a creative person. Uh-huh. I have a day job like everyone else does in the band, but I've always got, like, 5 or 6 different projects going at once.
Yeah.
It just scratches that creative itch that I have. And gotcha. I started to think about weathercore. Uh-huh. And the endless possibilities of just, like, different albums, different seasons, like, essentially anything and everything weather related. I'm also a huge space nerd. So, you know, atmospheres and just, I mean, the possibilities are endless. And and the only rule, I think, is it needs to be heavy. And that's kind of where the core, metal core, comes in.
Yep.
And it has to be weather specific.
Okay. And like you said, I don't think I know of any other bands who actually go to weather specific on that, you know. And there's so many different ones, different subgenres now of metal.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
right.
Like you said, just claim it as your own, because I don't think I've heard of any other ones.
There's a ton of songs, right? Like, there's a ton of songs written about weather and that sort of thing, but I don't know of a band that's entire identity is wrapped around weather. And I really think it's cool. I mean, as a weather nerd myself and someone who grew up, you know, dreaming to one day be a tornado chaser and all that, it's just, it's a lot of fun. Uh-huh. And we're not trying to make any money off of this whatsoever.
Yeah.
We want to just play some shows, raise money, you know, for this foundation that we're working with, and just basically print content, man. We want to just keep making music. I've already got ideas for our next album and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that part here in just a little bit about the foundation that you're actually working with. But I kind of want to get a little bit more in behind the band. So you guys, I'm guessing you said it was with some of your friends and stuff. So it's guys mm-hmm. that you just grew up with. Right. Did you guys play music before this, or was this just something that you just started with this project in particular?
Yeah, great question. So my best friend, Bird, he is the guitar player.
Okay.
A buddy of mine, Mike, is the other guitar player.
Okay.
I kind of roped all these guys in to like a group message and said, hey, do we want to do this or not? But our drummer, the drummer that's in the video, actually Ben, he was in our original metal band. This was probably like 2010. Oh. And we were called Revelation Symphony. Uh-huh. I think some videos still exist on YouTube, but
I'll have to look that up.
We were, and this was kind of a themed band too, in a sense. We were kind of a speed metal, Dragon Force, Killswitch Engage, like thrash band.
Okay.
And but at that point, all of the songs were basically about like the end of the world and the apocalypse. So again, a lot of fun with that one too. And that band played for a while, at least a few years. And we played a bunch of shows, and then, you know, everyone just got busy and we couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
Even before then, my buddy Bird, I played with him and almost every project I've been in.
Yeah.
Played in cover bands. He currently plays bass and sings, and Ben Mosley in the contraband, which I was originally the drummer for. So yeah, all these guys are pretty active in bands. I think Mike's in like three different projects right now. So,
oh,
so
wow.
We're all pretty heavy and pretty busy, you know, as far as music goes.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of a side project that's turned into a lot of fun.
It sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun with this. So I'm guessing you play quite a few different instruments then. You kind of sound like me when it comes to music, kind of dabble all over the place.
I do, man. I'm really a drummer.
Okay.
I've been a drummer since I was a kid. I mean,
yeah.
Pots and pans, that was me. I remember my first drum set. I think I was like 6 or 7, and my eyes got really big Christmas, and I just kept going.
Yeah.
I played drums since high school. I played drums in church bands. I played drums in punk rock bands. Even when I was in the Navy, I was able to convince leadership to let us start a rock band on board the ship. So
oh,
while
cool.
I was deployed, I was still playing music. So,
well, when it comes to being, you know, passionate about music, you always find a way. I know how it is. Music becomes a big part of your life, and it sounds like you're a lot, Mike, like me in that aspect, that you've got to have something musical going on.
Yeah, man, it's the escape from the real world, you know.
Right.
There's the grind of adulting and dealing with work and all the other BS in the world, and music is a like really good escape from all that. It's
yep.
fun. It's creative. It actually can make a difference in people's lives too. And
right.
so I wouldn't know what to do without music. You know, it's
yep.
definitely been it's been everything for me through all sorts of scenarios.
Yeah. So who would you say is some of your inspirations behind your style?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hope the guys don't kill me because we're all over the place.
Yeah.
now speaking, and me too, man, like I love everything from Seal to Reba McEntire, you know,
all right,
to Lamb of God. So,
yeah.
You know, I really do like everything.
Yeah.
But I think Torcon 11 in the metal genre. So like my kind of go-to vocals are Demon Hunter is one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
They're like just a super heavy
yep.
Metal band similar to us. And then Lamb of God, Randy Blythe, the lead singer of Lamb of God.
One of the best.
It's just a legend. So
yeah.
He's as far as just pure like metal vocalists,
yep.
I think he takes the crown as far as that goes for me.
Okay.
And then of course, and I like Howard Jones from Killswitch Engage
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
I do like Jesse. I think it's great, but man, the Howard Jones era was like
the best
kick ass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's my favorite one too.
Yep. So there's that. And then drummers, golly, there's just a giant list. The drummer from August Burns Red is fantastic. He's just a beast. He's so intricate, and he actually has his own podcast too. I can't think of the name of it right now. But yeah, he's probably my favorite drummer currently.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's Matt Griner.
Matt Griner. Okay.
Yeah, really good. August Burns Red just slays, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're definitely naming a lot of bands that, when it comes to metal, that's what I go towards, especially Howard Jones when it comes to Killswitch. You know, I mean, I don't think you get much better, especially when it comes to, like, he could go from the scream straight into those clean vocals, and it just sounding, it sounded almost angelic to me. You know, his voice was so
right,
beautiful. Yeah. You know, so
yeah, man,
I've really always enjoyed stuff. His stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, Randy Blythe, you can't go wrong there. I mean, the dude is a master when it comes to what he does. So, yeah, I like those answers, and all great bands, you know. So
I agree.
So growing up, were you a big metalhead, or was it something that you found later in life?
Yeah, so no, not really. I grew up by force in Alabama, rural Alabama.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to country music in the 80s. My dad was a huge Metallica fan.
Oh.
And I think I always just ignored it. Like, if he had it playing in the background, or he had it playing while he was working on his car. Cause, like, oh, that's old people stuff, you know? And so I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah.
I found myself listening to everything that was on the radio at the time.
Right.
And you may pull my man card, but, like, I loved all the kind of ska type stuff. I liked the Blink-182 and the No Doubt and Sugar Ray. Like, that was my childhood.
That's, yeah. Okay.
And exciting enough, No Doubt is playing at Coachella. They're doing a reunion. So that's a lot of fun.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Gwen Stefani, cool. And I think the original lineup. So wow. I can remember the day that I discovered metal and, you know, true hardcore metalheads again, maybe like, what is he doing? But I was sitting in my dad's like little S10 pickup truck, and I feel like he had picked me up from school or something. At this point, I'm about 15, maybe 14.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm late to the game, and he had just bought new Pioneer radio and speakers for his truck. That was a thing back then, right?
Right.
Put in the newest, latest technology. You press the screen and it folds out and lights up. Dude, in the early 2000s, that was like awesome. Oh,
top of the line. Cool stuff.
So I remember he played Enter Sandman, and I heard it coming through that like really cool system.
Yeah.
And that is the day that like I paid attention to like heavy rock music and metal.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I had never heard like music like that before. So right. A combination of the good sound system, I think just plus the intensity of like Metallica. And I was like, I like this a lot. I'm in, you know?
For me, I mean, you probably hear this a lot and everything. I think Black Album is probably one of the, for a long time, was one of the last albums that I actually really truly listened to when it came to Metallica.
Yeah, it got a little weird there.
It did.
Of course, everyone, I'm a drummer, so the Saint Anger snare incident, you know.
It's, yeah. It's
just, like, and then the whole Napster thing, and like,
yeah,
Metallica, I don't think they ever stopped, but
right,
it was definitely quiet for a long time.
It was. But yeah, I mean, that's very similar to me. I think Metallica, that very song was the very first metal song for me, too. I was
nice.
I think I was probably like 15. I was at least 16 because I had a car, and one of my friends put the CD in my CD player in my car, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool. I like this." And then you know, it just goes from there.
Yeah, it's like man stuff, you know. It's,
exactly,
it's pretty cool, man. Because otherwise, it was Journey and whoever else on the radio and Leonard Skinner, you know.
Yeah,
that's fine. Like, respect, like all those bands. But then I heard Metallica, and I was like, "This is different. This is good."
Yeah, it definitely stands out, especially when, like you said, you grew up listening to a lot of country music and stuff like that as well. So it's a big switch, even with going from country to Metallica.
For sure, man. Yeah.
So I know that you guys, you brought the, or when you emailed me recently, you said that you guys are going to be having some new music that's coming out here soon.
Yeah, I actually checked right before we got on.
Okay.
Because I know that, so our next single, Sky Cows, which is, if I could just tell you about that.
Okay.
So every song on this EP has to be about like severe weather and tornadoes, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the next one is winter or who knows. But yeah. So I was thinking of the movie Twister.
Yes.
Literally.
Uh-huh.
And so we recorded it back and forth. We're doing everything remote. Ben is in Huntsville. Everyone else is in Birmingham.
Yeah.
James, kind of our admin internet guy, he's in Arkansas. I'm currently living in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we did all this remote. I just went in and did the vocals at Mike's house over Christmas break to finish Sky Cows.
Mm-hmm.
So all these songs are going to be coming out kind of one at a time.
Okay.
Between now and hopefully the end of April. I don't know how all these platforms release them.
Yeah.
There's not a set date. It's kind of just, it shows up when it does, but we've sent it. It should be showing up on, you know, Spotify and Apple and everything else, just like Respect the Polygon pretty soon.
Okay.
Sky Cows is on YouTube currently. So I think it's just a still image, but you can play the track Sky Cows. It's there.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I mean, literally the song is just about cows getting ripped from the earth by a tornado. It's a lot of fun.
As soon as you said that, Twister came in my head because that's
I know.
It's the twin tornadoes when they combine into one, you know, and then the cow comes across the while they're out there, murr.
It just sticks with you, scene, man.
Yeah, it is.
You don't forget that.
No. So bringing up Twister, I know that there's a new movie coming out for them.
Yeah, Super Bowl advertisement. We shared it from our page. I think when I went to YouTube and clicked on it, there was only like a couple thousand views.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was really quick. I wish that I would have known that a little sooner. I had some industry like connections because we should have totally been on the soundtrack for the new Twister movie. Just saying.
I agree. Hey, maybe there's still some room in there to get you in.
You never know.
Or, yeah, never say never.
If they want to invite us to the premiere and, you know, just let us play like at an after party or something, we would totally do that too. Just feed us and we'll do it.
You'd be more than happy for it. That, yeah, I totally get that. So you guys did a music video. About how long did that take to make? And, you know, what was that like doing that?
Yeah, so I've done a couple of videos. This was one of the funnest and coolest videos I've done. And it was also the most like streamlined and professional I've done.
Yeah.
So there's this page, if you go on YouTube, called Lawn Chair Youth.
Okay.
These guys are based out of Birmingham. If you follow metal music at all, you could just be scrolling and you're going to start to see all these black and white videos. And they're shot almost identical. The theme is always the same. And I'm like, what is that? And I had some buddies that played and I said, well, I'm going to reach out and see if they would shoot a video for us.
Yeah.
So we went and did the video. It's called Lawn Chair Youth Uncut.
Okay.
So you get two shots. So you set up your gear, you listen to the song once, you do a playthrough once.
Uh-huh.
So the music's playing and you're just kind of playing along, right?
Right.
And you do a practice run.
Uh-huh.
And then the second time is the real deal. And whatever you get is what you get.
Oh, wow.
And he had the entire thing done, mastered, edited, and uploaded the same day. I mean, no sooner than 10 minutes, we were done at the studio and posted it online the very next day.
Wow. That's impressive.
Very cool.
Also nerve-wracking on you guys' part to make sure that you do what you're wanting to do on there.
Right. So luckily, everyone in the band is super talented and good enough to, you know, fake it till you make it kind of deal.
Yeah.
What was crazy, man, the day of our first practice take, like we had been there maybe 30 minutes, set up our gear and put on all of our outfits, you know, and Mike had this super nice guitar and he spun it. I mean, I don't think the song had even really kicked in yet. And the head of his guitar smashed on the concrete and broke in half.
Oh, no.
we're all like, oh, my God, super sad.
Yeah.
You know, I felt bad. But he was able to repair it and it's all good. But, yeah, I mean, that was metal. I was like, well, now it's an official metal video because we broke the guitar already.
Yeah.
So if you watch the video, it's a lot of fun. You'll kind of see us all. It's more for show, obviously, because we're not really playing, but we're all kind of going off. Bird's a madman in the background. If you see the video, he's the one guy that has hair. And,
well, there's been some comments online about that, too, about he should shave his head.
Yeah, so what's funny, like, that wasn't really a part of the design. So we brought Andrew in kind of last minute, our bass player,
because
I've played in other bands with him. And, dude, we all just happen to be bald people, you know? So it wasn't really I guess that wasn't a thought until afterwards. And then it's like, well, now this is funny, but Bird's not going to shave his head. He should, though. He should do it for the kids.
Exactly.
Think about the kids, Bird.
Come on, Bird. Think about him.
Hello, everybody. I apologize for butting in on what you're listening to, but I wanted to introduce you guys to a brand new podcast called the Tiger Nexus Podcast. I'm Ty Tiger, and I'm the host. I'm mostly known for the Tiger Tales YouTube channels, where you'll find stories and fanfictions that I write and read to you guys. I'm also a co-founder of the Three Range Bro Studios, but I wanted to dive into this whole podcasting thing. I'm a content creator, and I adore making content of all sorts of varieties, and I want to interview people that enjoy and make content as well. And we're talking about all sorts of things, from TikToks to YouTube to story writing to storytelling, podcasts, movies and TV shows, all forms of content you can think of, I want to interview people about. So there's going to be lots of different variety. So make sure you check out the Tiger Nexus Podcast on YouTube and Spotify.
So in any of these songs, I know you've mentioned Killswitch, and they do have some, they do a lot of the clean vocals and stuff. Are we going to see more of that in your music that's coming out?
It is possible.
It is possible.
I think everything is on the table. I don't think there's like really any rules. I know Mike can do vocals. Bird can do vocals. Andrew, all these guys, super talented. So I don't know what's going to happen moving forward.
Uh-huh.
For this particular album, I guess there's that one part where I kind of talk.
At the beginning.
But for this particular album, just all extreme, like heavy, like metal vocals, because the concept of this album is severe weather.
Right.
But yeah, and moving forward, I don't know. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and I think it would be really cool to expand and incorporate everybody's abilities and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. So there was something I saw on you guys' Facebook page, and I wanted to bring this up. It was Lamb Goat. Had an article that came out, and they listed you in the top 8 bands for February.
Saw that, and my mind was blown. I didn't even reach out to them. I don't know how that happened. I was just super grateful. I think this all spawns from Lawn Chair Youth.
Okay.
They're getting a lot of recognition. They've had a lot of like pretty popular bands on their page. And so if I had to guess, Lamb Goat did an editorial on Lawn Chair Youth and just how they're, you know, showing all these new bands.
Right.
And I guess they thought we were good enough to mention. So thank you to everyone involved in that. It did give us a little more traction and got different eyes on it. So that was really cool, man. I was kind of like blown away, to be honest. I've put so much work into other serious projects, not to say this isn't serious, but to get, you know, like some press like that from a reputable like metal source, I was really shocked, like, wow, that's freaking cool. You know, I immediately like copied it and dropped it in our text group, and I was like, dudes, this is massive. Or maybe James sent it, but when I first saw it, I was like, whoa, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So that, super appreciative of that. And that kind of legitimizes things a little bit and makes it even more fun.
Yeah, definitely. So what does your writing process look like whenever you're doing these songs?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned the first song kind of just happened, right?
Right.
Moving forward, once we had the band and the people, between Mike and Bird, they come up with riffs and riff ideas. And this is kind of all Google and Dropbox back and forth.
Yeah.
Once the music is done, I'll then write the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then at some point I would go to Mike's house back in Alabama and record the vocals. He's got a really cool studio in his house, in his basement, and he does a great job. So yeah, the writing is a lot of back and forth, sharing ideas through Facebook Messenger and Dropbox and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes it very unique, especially since, like you said, you guys are remote. You know, I didn't realize that everybody was so, you know, spread out across the United States and everything. So that makes it even more impressive that you guys are able to collaborate and get this going the way that you have it going.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I agree. It is hard. We've all got different schedules and kids and, you know, jobs. And so that's why we're kind of taking it slow.
Yeah.
We're doing very specific things and only have a few plans. You know, we're not trying to hop in a van and tour right now or anything like that. Just trying to get it going, release some content, have fun with it. You know, I want to be on some podcasts and even would love to get on a couple of like weather nerd podcasts and talk about stuff. Kind of slowly build it. And as long as the reception is positive, man, it's too fun and unique not to keep going.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things about being a metal vocalist is it doesn't come easy. It's something that you have to work at. How long did it take you to perfect your metal scream?
That's a great question. I honestly can say that I don't know what I'm doing. I've started to watch a lot of the one takes.
Yeah.
Like Spirit Box has a couple of videos where she's just in there raw.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to kind of see how they do it.
Right.
A lot of people, I think, cheat on the recordings and layer and that sort of thing.
Right.
Which everyone does to a point. But I started in high school, actually sang the first time I sang in a band in high school. I was in like a Nirvana tribute band and we were just god awful. We were not good. but anyway,
start somewhere.
So from there, you know, I was just the angst teenager, you know, I grew up in the Linkin Park era. So I would be in my bedroom, you know, driving my parents nuts, just trying to scream and sing along with Linkin Park.
Right.
And then in the car, if I'm by myself, I'm always singing. I've just kind of kept doing that. And then when I started to get serious about it, you know, that's when I really started to, I mean, my go-to is YouTube. Really watch other vocalists talk about how they do it, different techniques, you know, because I definitely don't want to blow my vocal cords out.
Right.
And so even though I don't know what I'm doing, I feel like the way that I do it is the right way. I don't know if that made sense or not.
It doesn't feel like you're hurting yourself.
No, I mean, I have felt kind of some irritation, like after a long show or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
No, but I'm always hydrating. Yeah. So I'm always drinking water and making sure, you know, I don't smoke and that sort of thing. So I think health is really important. And I think a lot of people miss that. I'm not trying to throw up on stage or spit blood or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be metal, but that's not a goal of mine.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to keep doing this, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, man. That's a good question.
Yeah. I've tried, I'm not great at it. And I've listened to different people try to explain how to do it. And then, you know, I've seen videos of people being like, oh, show me your metal scream. And not everybody can do it. And then I was like, that was before I ever even tried to do it myself. And then I tried and I was like, oh, this is not something that you can just do. You know, it's something you have to work towards because otherwise you will hurt yourself.
Yeah. And I will say in the studio is way more difficult than in a live setting.
Okay.
Because you can cheat really good. Like in a live setting, the distortion of the amps, you can kind of cup the microphone a little bit and work the feedback to your advantage.
Right.
Plus it's actually being amplified.
Yep.
But in a studio, it's just your voice and that's it.
Yeah. Those condenser mics just, they don't add anything to it. They pick up what's right in front of them.
Yeah. So I think we did SkyCals about 20 times at Mike's house and just, we kept discovering little parts that we can add and kind of repeats and that sort of thing. But
yeah,
by the time I was done, I think it was like the day after Christmas. Yeah. I mean, I was like, yeah, I'm going to lay low and not scream for a little bit.
Were you going to expect any Lorna Shore type sound and stuff coming out there?
Oh man, I wish I could sound that cool. No, I'm kind of in that, not saying I'm anywhere near as good, but that kind of thrashy, that kind of Lamb of God-ish kill switch. Yeah. That's kind of where I hang out. I wish I could do different things. I wish I could do the gutturals. I wish I could do the super high, like fry screaming, like pig squeals. I just think it's funny, but I can't. I mean, I'm kind of am where I am and I'm okay with that.
Yes. Stick with what you're good at, you know. Like I said, I love the way you guys sound and it works for you. There's some people that do that other stuff, but what you guys are doing seems to be working.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
So I kind of want to talk about the foundation that you're working with. It's the Alabama Childhood Food Solution, correct?
Yeah. So this all kind of ties back into James Spann, the meteorologist.
Uh-huh.
So this essentially started as a meme of him singing or screaming.
Right.
And so before we did anything, and we're using the phrase respect the polygon, I reached out to him directly.
Uh-huh.
As much of a legend and as famous as he is, he's still like the most super cool down to earth guy. And he actually responded to me on Facebook. I got excited, gathered my thoughts and wrote him and said, hey, look, here's kind of this idea that we're doing. You know, how do you feel?
Yeah.
And he basically told me like, that's fine. You know, do whatever you want. Just keep it clean.
Right.
Because I work for a Christian ministry and I'm like, okay, like totally on board with that. I can support that.
Yeah.
We'll keep it clean. Right.
Right.
So then we started, you know, I think we may have posted a clip or a preview of the song, this sort of thing. The reception was really good. And so then I wrote him back and I was like, well, I need to get a little more information about this, this organization. And we decided as a band, all of us, we're just going to donate all the proceeds we make to Torcon 11 to Alabama Childhood Food Solutions.
Okay.
And so I didn't know much about them.
Uh-huh.
So I did a little research and then I reached out and I actually spoke with their marketing director and she kind of gave me the rundown of what they do. And man, basically they feed kids that are in low income and impoverished communities and their families. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so basically these kids, they go to school and this Alabama Childhood Food Solutions, they make backpacks for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending home every month to these families, like 70 pounds of fresh vegetables and food. So these kids are going to school. It's a backpack program. They leave school, I guess, on Friday or whatever, and they're bringing a backpack full of like nutritious food back home. And I just think that's super cool and neat.
Yeah, definitely. It's very commendable to have people to do things like that because we're a lot of people, we're very privileged and we don't realize how much that there are people out there that do need help. So that's really cool that they have that program to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Our plan is to do for sure like two concerts.
Okay.
One would be specifically like an EP release party.
Uh-huh.
And one would be a benefit concert for Alabama Childhood Food Solutions. And maybe one or the other, but at least on one of those shows, we want to bring in like a larger band just to have, you know, more involvement. And I've already kind of got some connections from local media and that sort of thing from other benefit concerts that I've put on in the past. So really hoping to blow that out and just give all the proceeds from ticket sales and the merch that we sell to that organization.
That's cool. That's really cool. So you've done benefit concerts before then?
Yeah. So I have, I've actually done a tornado benefit specifically. So I'm from a little small town called Corner, Alabama. It sets up about 30 minutes north of Birmingham in the woods on the hills a little bit. But so just south of me is a town called Fultondale, Alabama. And they were hit by a really bad tornado. And, you know, there's some loss of life. And it kind of shocked everybody. One of the venues that we always play at was hit by the tornado. So it's kind of, and I knew a lot of the firefighters and police. And so just kind of reached out and we threw together a benefit concert for the community of Fultondale. That kind of transformed into a larger concert called Shamrocks and Shenanigans, which unfortunately I'm not able to be a part of anymore just because of being remote and I'm not there and don't have the time and resources, but they're still doing it. Bird's actually playing at the one coming up this March with Ben Mosley and the Contraband. And so they're still doing benefit shows, you know, that kind of started from a tornado benefit that we did about 3 or 4 years ago. So to just know that that legacy is still out there and it's literally just music for a cause. And so that's why I do it. You know, I'm not, I don't have any desire to be a rock star or famous. I've toured a little bit in the past and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I mean, if I could figure that out, that would be a lot of fun, but I'm not pursuing it. I'm not pursuing it, you know?
Right.
But I like to do things and for a charitable cause. I've done some work with homeless veteran nonprofits and that sort of thing. So man, everything I do is usually, you know, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
I commend people that do this as a full-time career. I know how hard it is. It's crazy difficult.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I'm not going to make money off of it, but let's try and make some money for somebody else, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that's a good way of, you know, looking at it and everything. You're enjoying yourself while you're doing this, but you're also helping somebody out. That's so amazing. So
thanks, man. Yeah.
What actually got you interested in weather like this? Because I definitely see a passion when it comes to that.
Yeah. So, well, the movie Twister, really, truthfully, I gotta, you know, say that was part of it.
Yeah.
But just growing up in Alabama, we have tornadoes like all the time, every year. Alabama is unique in the sense that like Tornado Alley, right? Happens
where happens, I'm at.
Right. And so like for the most part, and not to downgrade any of that because there's still like horrible tornadoes happen.
But
for the most part, tornadoes in Alabama usually happen. They're rain wrapped. It's at nighttime. And up until like very recently, like our detection systems couldn't see where the tornado was.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where Respect the Polygon came into play. So when I was growing up, tornado sirens, like old school tornado sirens on a tower would go off and they would be like countywide tornado sirens.
Right.
And so there's some counties in Alabama that like might be an hour or 2 hours away from top to bottom. So now you're waking up people at 2 a.m, there's a tornado, which better safe than sorry. And I get that.
Yeah.
But there's this constant like fear, especially me as a kid, and I grew up like with nothing. So in a trailer, there's a tornado coming. So I was always like very like just paying attention to that. And the Polygon system is new. And now when tornadoes warnings are put out, they're put in this like polygon shape on the map. And James Spann has harped on that since like day one. I want to say he was one of the first people and he's like, respect the polygon. Like if you're in this polygon, this is definitely where a tornado is. Right.
Right.
You know, if you're, he'll even say like, if you're north up here past highway, whatever, you're clear. But if you're in this polygon, it's a problem.
Yes.
So my birthday is April the 8th. And on April the 8th, 1998, an F5 tornado is like one of the largest tornadoes to ever hit the state of Alabama. I think until the big one hit Tuscaloosa in 2011.
Uh-huh.
It came super close to where I lived. And I think it, you know, killed like 30 something people.
Mm.
I spent my birthday party, my friends like spent the night the day before, I think.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, going to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever we were going to do, my mom took us to like my friend's neighborhood, because I don't even know if there were cell phones back then, you know? So I remember spending my birthday, like watching the National Guard, and like, I saw a Jeep like embedded in the side of a tree.
Oh, wow.
So that's where it started.
Yeah. Man, that, yeah, I can understand where that would make you take heed to when weather starts and stuff like that, and wanting to know, you know, that makes total sense. I figured it had something to do with the movie Twister too. You know, because we've talked about it a little bit on here as well. And you're right close to my age, and I remember when that movie came out. And then me and all my friends, whenever there was a storm moving in, we were running around outside like we were tornado chasers. So it's I can understand that. That's got to be something that sticks with you for sure.
This is still something I want to do, you know, professionally and safely, but I would absolutely come like to where you are and hire a company or a meteorologist to let me go chase a tornado. Like, that is bucket list for me. So people want to jump out of planes. I've already done that, but I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do anything too crazy, but like, I've skydived probably 7 times, you know, worked on the Navy, always volunteered for the crazy assignments, you know, flying in helicopters. And so that's me, you know. I just, okay. I love my downtime too. Like, I'm sitting here in my space socks while I'm talking to you, you know. I like to chill, but when it's time, man, like, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go chase a tornado. Would love to do that.
Well, so exactly where I'm at, it's weird. We have what we call the Walmart bubble, and it's, that kind of weather usually passes over the Northwest Arkansas area, specifically Benton County. Whenever there's storms coming on around us, they usually split and go completely around us. So we've been fairly lucky with everything that we've had here, but that the close ones have been like, we've had the one in Joplin that happened. I don't remember what year that was, but you know, they're always very close by, but they usually miss the area where we live at.
Wow. So the Walmart bubble, is there some significance to that name?
Walmart home office is here.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we've got Walmart home office and JB Hunt home office here. And so we say that Walmart has a bubble over this area to protect their assets.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So you're not far from James. Okay. James, like I said, he's kind of he's in Conway.
Okay. That's about 2 hours away from me.
So yeah, not far, man. And yeah. I've been through there. We were passing through on. So I'm remote at my job, and my girlfriend's a travel nurse, and so I just kind of follow her around, and it's got to go to a lot of cool places and see different things. But I know exactly where you're at. That's my point. I drove right through there.
Yeah. I've been up here since my junior year in high school, and I love it and haven't left.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we're kind of coming up close to a close here, and I've just got a few more questions for you before I get you off of here. Do you have any big future plans that are coming up that maybe you want to talk about?
So the two biggest ones are that benefit concert. I can't give any details yet.
Okay.
Just because we haven't locked in a venue.
Right.
There is some talks of where it's going to be and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Probably, you know, in Alabama somewhere.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a smaller like EP release party. Beyond that, there's definitely going to be another EP of sorts.
Uh-huh.
And if I had to guess, a winter or a summer album, depending on the time that this all rolls out.
Yeah.
Summer would be fun. Talk about, you know, just heat exhaustion and things melting, Yep. Frying eggs on the sidewalk. I don't know, that sort of thing. the biggest, I guess, announcement would be that all of our tracks are going to be available on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere you can find music. We've got all that done through Here Now. That's the website, herenow.com. You can find our information anywhere. If you just Google TourCon 11, we show up, which is also cool. And also a reason I chose the name, because it's so hard, man, to find a band name.
Right. Yeah.
which TourCon 11, if you didn't know, is just basically the TourCon scale. TourCon is like F1 to F5, but this is a different one. And so it goes to 10, so we add one, right? Because we're heavier. Okay.
I like that.
It's kind of like the whole Spinal Tap thing, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. Except for, you know, you keep your drummers.
Yeah.
So if people want to follow you online, where can they do that at?
Yeah, so Facebook.com is kind of an easy go-to. We interact with it, so we're there. It should point you to all the different directions. But we have a Linktree. The Linktree is probably the best because that has the links to all of our other social media. So it's just Linktree, however that's spelled, linktr.ee, and then TourCon 11. It takes you to our Facebook, our X, formerly Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, or even on Threads. Has a link to donate to Alabama Childhood Food Solutions. So you can find everything you need right there on that Linktree page.
Okay. All right, man. Well, is there anything else that maybe you want to bring up before I get you off of here?
No, can't think of anything. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a lot of fun. Got to talk weather and metal, two of my favorite things. So that's great. I appreciate you giving me a platform to kind of talk nonsense with you. And it's been a lot of fun.
Definitely. Well, thank you for coming on here as well. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed talking with you myself, and maybe we can get you back on here again to promote some more of your music.
Man, I would love to. Let's circle back to it. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Sounds good. Have a good night, man.
You too, brother.
Wrestling fans, join us for the Diamond State Flawless TV recordings live in front of a studio audience. Every 2 weeks, join us in the Diamond Dome for the best live independent wrestling. Diamond State Wrestling is on the road to crowning the second annual King and Queen of Diamonds. You never know what's going to happen or what you'll see in Diamond State Wrestling. The show is called Flawless. It's every other Sunday at the Diamond Dome in Springdale, Arkansas, in the Next Level Soccer Center. Doors open at 3 o'clock with bell time at 4. Tickets start at $10 for general admission and $5 for children. For more information, check out DiamondStateWrestling.com.
Hey, listeners. I'm glad you're enjoying what you're listening to. I'm Billy from Zero to Hero Podcast. I'll always be joined by Jim, and me and him are the Folk and Skull Podcasting. If you definitely like jumping down rabbit holes from week to week of anything that ranging from the old school Power Rangers 90s-esque nostalgia, or we could even be talking about moon landings. So I know you're interested, so definitely after the show, come check us out. Zero to Hero Podcast.
All right, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed that episode with Brad Harden from TourCon 11. He was really a great guest to talk with, and I look forward to hearing more of their music, and I look forward to talking to him more because he was a lot of fun to bring on the show. I like bringing on the musical guests as well as all the other ones that I have, and so, this one was a lot of fun for me, and I look forward to doing more like this in the future. So next week will be me recording my 2-year anniversary episode, and I'll be announcing who's going to be on there. It's going to be a really special treat coming up, but I will announce that later in this week. But this was my 100th episode here, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in and listened to this episode and who have been along for the ride from the beginning, or if you found me along the way. I'm really, really grateful that you're here listening to this show. It's been a lot of fun to do, and I look forward to continue doing this show. But as you're waiting for another episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast to drop, why don't you check out my podcast networks that I'm a part of? The OIW Podcast Network, the Zio to Hero Podcast Network, and the Avenue Podcast Network. I really enjoy being a part of all of these different places. They've got really great people in each and every one of them. And like I said, while you're waiting on iGetApp to release a new episode, go out there and check them out. Find you another good podcast to listen to while you wait, because there are plenty of them. I have merch out. If you want a t-shirt or a hat or a hoodie or a coffee mug or stickers, even a magnet, all kinds of stuff. If you want any of that, hit me up. Let me know what you want. My wife makes all of this stuff for me. She's amazing. I don't know what I would do without her, but she creates all of my merch for me. I give her an idea, and she brings it to life. So if you guys want anything custom made, make sure that you go out there and look up Cups and Teas by Stacia. I'll have a link to her in my show notes. You can also reach out to her to tell her what kind of merch you would like from me as well. If you like the way my ending theme song sounds, that is D-Cure. D-Cure is the man. He is awesome with what he does, and he's a monster as well. He comes out with all kinds of music all the time. I'm really appreciative of him for making this ending theme song for me. If you like the way it sounds, make sure that you go out there and show him some love and start following what he does. He's all over social media, and you can find his music on Spotify and all kinds of other places. I believe I have his website in my show notes, so go out there and follow him and listen to all the great content and music that he has out. He also makes some really funny videos on TikTok. He makes all kinds of great content. He's just a great guy all around, so follow him. I also want to say thank you to Original Geek for making me a part of them. I am happy to be a member of these people and bringing you awesome content, whether it be comic books or here very soon some music. We're even going to be coming out with an audio drama here pretty soon as well. In the future, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do all kinds of cool stuff, and we're going to be doing live events as well. The next live event is actually the book release for the 8th Day, Issue 1. And that will be at Kapow Comics in Sheridan, Arkansas. If you're near that area, you should go out there, check it out. They're going to have the comic book release there. You can get autographs. You can talk to some of the writers, some of the artists on there. But yeah, go and check that out. They're also going to be doing another one on March 30th at Heroes and Wizards Comics in Webb City, Missouri. So I believe that it will be Nick that will be at that one. He is the writer behind Vengeance and behind The 8th Day. So make sure that you go out there and get a little talk in with him, and you can get an autograph and kind of learn more about everything that is Original Geek. Those are the live events that are coming up right then. And then we will also, I am setting up as If You Give a Dad a Podcast at PTXCon in Paris, Texas on April 13th. And Original Geek will be setting up in a booth right next to me. So if you want to come out and say hello to both of us, you can do that then. We've got some really cool stuff coming up, and I'm very excited to be a part of all of this. And speaking of things that I'm very excited to be a part of, there is a new branch of If You Give a Dad. And you've heard me talk about it. It's a new YouTube channel out, and it's called If You Give a Dad a YouTube Channel. That is being run by Ty. He is one of my dear friends, and I am very excited for him to be bringing this content to you guys. He's going to be showing you how to do different things when it comes to creating video content and how to edit and how to work on a budget. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and so make sure and check his stuff out. I will have links to that in my show notes, and that's not the only one. There are more that are coming here very soon. I will be announcing those as they become available. So just stay tuned, because I've got more If You Give a Dad branches coming out here very soon. So you hear me talking about Facebook and social media and Twitter and all these different places. If you want to follow me, just go to the search bar on whatever social media app you're on and look up If You Give a Dad a Podcast. And this should be the easy way to find me. You can also Google me. I am the first 10 to 15 results on there as well. Or if you want to just go to my show notes, I'll have my link tree on there, and you can find all the places to find me on there as well. But if you want to send me an email, send it to giveadadapodcast@gmail.com. I really look forward to hearing from you guys, telling me what you want to hear, and hopefully I'll be able to get some more guests on that way as well. Also, if you want to order your merch that way, that's a good way to do it. Send me the size that you want. Tell me which shirt or hoodie or whatever it is that you're wanting. Tell me what you want. Give me an address, and I will get it shipped out to you. Also, since you're listening to this right now, go ahead and do me a favor. Rate and review this podcast. Let me know what you think, whether you like it, whether you don't. Let me know. It's very important to me that you guys do this. This show is more likely to be recommended to more people, the more people that rate this show, and it lets me know how I'm doing as well. Also, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to If You Give a Dad a Podcast, and hit the notification bell. That way you are notified when a new episode of iGadap drops. So, we have come to the end of another episode, the 100th episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast. And I just want to say again, I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful for everyone who tunes in and listens to this every week. You guys are the reason why I've been able to get where I'm at and be able to do the cool things that I'm doing. And greatly appreciate you guys and can't wait to do more. But it is time for Billy's favorite part of the episode, and that is Dad Joke of the Week. What did the pirate say when he turned 80? Aye, matey.
Jared, you are on my cat's Christmas card list? My cat-themed Christmas card list? You done.
All right. I love you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
On. He calls us beautiful people, then tells us who we have on. The best part of my day, though we're blocked out in my pods. Tell my friends all about it so that they follow along. And the host is kinda nerdy, but guess what I am as well. I don't feel so alone, and I began walking out of my shell. Heard a story, I need a connection I haven't felt. I'll be looking for the next one, tell then farewell.
It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. Closely, download and tune in remotely. It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. And listen closely, download and tune in remotely.
This podcast is part of the OIW Podcasting Network.
And I'm telling you, I just don't find that interesting. I mean, like soap operas. Like every single time that I go and watch this stuff, it's just like, okay, cool, yeah, sure, but like I wanted to watch Power Rangers.
That's what I'm trying to say.